The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by ANT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining me today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
And we're going to start off talking today about something you had mentioned that you wanted to talk about the other day, and that's the GMO food labeling bill that was just passed by Congress. And we're going to do it in a different way. I'm going to read you what the mainstream media is saying about it, and then we'll go into why people feel betrayed about this passage of a GMO food labeling bill. Like so many things, the title is very misleading.
Dr. Slavin, there's still some things that people can do to be certain or at least attempt to derail passage of this bill.
Well, this is what the mainstream media is saying about it. They say consumers wanting to know if their foods contain genetically modified ingredients will be able to find out for the first time. Congress sent legislation to President Barack Obama on Thursday that would require most food packages to carry a text label, a symbol, or an electronic code readable by smartphone that indicates whether the food contains genetically modified ingredients. And then the Agricultural Department has 2 years to write the rules, which is kind of strange. You pass something and then you don't have the rules yet. They said Obama will sign the bill. And this may be part of the problem. So this will supersede a Vermont law that kicked in earlier this month. So they're overriding what the states have already done in some cases. The Senate approval came last week over the strong objections of Vermont's congressional delegation. They argued that the measure falls short, especially compared with the tougher labeling requirements in their state, Vermont. While the bill gives companies the three options for labeling, the Vermont law would require items to be labeled produced with genetic engineering. I think what they're looking for here is ways to confuse the public again. If there is an acknowledgement about the right of a consumer to have access to information, why not give them the information in plain and simple English? Advocates for labeling and the food industry, which has fought mandatory labeling, have wanted to find a national solution to avoid a state-by-state patchwork of laws. The food industry supports the legislation, which was the result of bipartisan Senate negotiations. But many advocates do not, arguing that many consumers won't be able to read electronic labels and that there aren't enough penalties for companies that don't comply. While there is little scientific concern about the safety of those GMOs on the market, which is kind of strange, there's little concern about the safety of GMOs on the market. They haven't tested them for safety. Advocates for labeling argue that not enough is known about their risks and people want to know what's in their food. Among supporters of labeling are many organic companies that are barred by law from using modified ingredients in their food. The food industry says GMOs are safe and the labels could mislead people into thinking they aren't. But several companies started to label their foods anyway as Vermont's law went into effect. It's a shame that Congress chose to replace our standard with a weaker one that provides multiple ways for the food industry to avoid transparent labeling. Republicans and lawmakers from rural states overwhelmingly supported the legislation. Agriculture groups have backed it, hoping it will bring more certainty to farmers who grow genetically modified corn and soybeans. The clock has run out. My producers need certainty, and an interstate commerce nightmare will surely ensure if we don't pass this bill. That was a statement by a Republican congressman. Genetically modified foods are plants or animals that have had genes copied from other plants or animals inserted into their DNA. While farmers have been selectively breeding plants for centuries, this manipulation is done in the lab, speeding up the process by transferring a gene from one plant or an animal to another. The engineering is done to create certain traits like resistance to herbicides. The bulk of the nation's genetically engineered crops are corn and soybeans that are eaten by livestock or made into popular processed food ingredients such as cornstarch, soybean oil, or high fructose corn syrup. Only a handful of genetically engineered fruits and vegetables are available in the produce aisle, including Hawaiian papaya, some zucchini and squash, and some sweet corn. The food industry says 75 to 80% of foods contain genetically modified ingredients, most of those corn and soy-based. And the Food and Drug Administration say they are all safe to eat. The legislation encompasses some foods that were exempted from the Vermont law, but it also allows the Agriculture Department to determine how much of a bioengineered substance must be present to require a GMO label. Labeling advocates say many foods wouldn't be labeled if the department sets a high threshold. So, Jen, I know you have some thoughts on this.
For sure. It's very interesting because most of this is to protect the agriculture chemical industry. However, there is no thought to protecting the consumer, the ultimate consumer of these genetically modified contaminants that are in our foods. And so I think from over the years, what people have heard here on Natural Doc Radio, they understand that the FDA is not in the forefront of supporting their good health. The FDA is very much affiliated with the Monsanto, DuPont, Dow, Nestle conglomeration of chemical companies. And I'm going to add a very surprising name to that list, right along with Monsanto, Dow, Nestle, and DuPont, Whole Foods. Whole Foods is very much behind this legislation, and people need to know that when they are walking into a Whole Foods market, they are not assured that the commercial fruits and vegetables they may purchase there, they are not assured that the processed foods with multiple ingredients that they purchase at Whole Foods are truly high quality foods. They may very well be contaminated with genetically modified ingredients. And there are still, there is still a move that people can make in order to protect themselves from exposure to genetically modified foods. Number one, as you say over and over, Dr. Slavin, if you choose organic, you are very safe. You are not exposing yourself to the pesticide contamination that is number one concern with genetically modified foods, because those genetic modifications are meant to protect the plant from repeated multiple applications of highly toxic pesticides, fungicides, and herbicides. The other thing that people can do is there is a petition that is available at organicconsumersassociation.org. So OCA.org, there's a petition that you can send that goes to the White House that suggests to President Obama that he not sign this legislation that is focused on supporting chemical companies, not the good health of our citizens. And then just one more little suggestion for health food store owners, possibly small grocery store owners. You can put all of the genetically modified foods in one area, and you can have a big sign at the top, all these foods are genetically modified, so that we have freedom of choice. If there are people out there who wish to purchase genetically modified ingredients in their processed foods, if they wish to consume those chemically contaminated foods, then they would be very easy to find just in one location in a grocery store. It has been brought to my attention that's one of the approaches that have been created in Germany in order to comply with what is the law in Germany in the EU, that the EU, according to their trade agreements, must accept genetically modified food. So they are very conveniently located in one small section of the store. Dr. Slavin?
One thing in this conversation is, why did Monsanto and a few other companies delve into this area of genetically modifying the foods we eat? And there are two reasons. One is the genetically modified foods, the whole purpose was to be Roundup ready. The active ingredient in Roundup is glyphosate, which is an herbicide. So you can spray this herbicide all over the fields. You don't have to worry about killing the crop, just the weeds around it. So that makes it desirable for the farmer, but the farmer then is forced to buy Roundup from Monsanto. But the other part that's not being mentioned here is the farmer is also forced to buy their seeds from Monsanto, because all of these genetically modified crops have been made sterile. They will not produce their own seeds, so the farmer is now forced to buy the seeds from Monsanto. In other words, Monsanto is controlling the food supply of the world. At least they're trying to. So I think that's
a consideration. They are trying to, and who manufactures glyphosate, Dr. Slavin?
Monsanto, I'm just saying, yeah.
And so Monsanto is very much behind the idea of genetically modified crops, because the more of those crops that make their way into the food supply, the more glyphosate Roundup they will sell.
And it's time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we'll be back right after this.
Janabiotic is a way to support your immune system, as well as enhance the function of your digestive tract and help to maintain regularity. One or two capsules per day provide the basic chemistry needed for healthy gastrointestinal function. Support your good health with the profile of probiotic ingredients in Janabiotic. Find out about Janabiotic at janazon.com.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
When you support your probiotic status with Janabiotic, you're on the way to overall good health. Your brain benefits with Janabiotic. Your immune system benefits with Janabiotic. Your digestion benefits with Janabiotic. Who doesn't need that kind of broad support for their health and well-being? Enhance your health with Janabiotic. Available at Dr. Herb Slavin's office, the Institute of Advanced Medicine.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We started off today talking about the law that was passed about labeling genetically modified foods, letting the public know that the food they may be buying is genetically modified. The purpose of genetically modified foods is to withstand the herbicide glyphosate. This way the farmers can spray it as much as they want. So let me tell you what National Geographic says about it. And you know what they know about glyphosate. So here's what they say. A farmer in central Illinois sprays his cornfield with glyphosate. Seeds have been genetically engineered to tolerate the chemical so farmers can apply it to the entire field without destroying crops. As a result, its use has skyrocketed, but some experts say research is needed exploring what happens to it in the environment and how much people are exposed. In other words, the answers to those questions aren't known right now. The world's most widely used herbicide, that's glyphosate, has been getting a lot of attention lately. Last month, and this was written in April of 2015, so this is over a year ago, an international agency declared glyphosate the primary ingredient in the popular product Roundup as a probable carcinogen. And that was the World Health Organization that said that. The weed killer also has made recent headlines for its widespread use on genetically modified seeds and research that links it to antibiotic resistance and hormone disruption. Several national governments are planning to restrict its use, and some school districts are talking about banning it. So, here's what we know about glyphosate. It was introduced commercially by Monsanto in 1974. It kills weeds by blocking proteins essential to plant growth. It is now used in more than 160 countries with more than 1.4 billion pounds applied per year. And Jen, isn't it interesting how in that law that was passed, they don't even discuss glyphosate because this is the primary reason for the objection of genetically modified foods is because of the increased exposure to glyphosate, which is a carcinogen.
It's very interesting that the real danger behind this genetic modification brouhaha is the glyphosate, and it is kind of like the elephant in the room nobody's talking about.
Now, glyphosate, as we said, is sold under the brand name Roundup, and it's in a lot of products because, you know, you can go to the store and buy a product that contains glyphosate because they say it's effective against poison ivy, dandelions, and other weeds, but the primary use is in agriculture. Nearly all the corn, soy, and cotton grown in the United States is treated with glyphosate. Its use has skyrocketed after seeds were genetically engineered to tolerate the chemical. Because these seeds produce plants that are not killed by glyphosate, farmers can apply the weed killer to entire fields without worrying about destroying their crop. Between 1987 and 2012, annual U.S. farm use grew from less than 11 million pounds to nearly 300 million pounds. By far, the vast use is on genetically engineered crops. This is the GMO crops, corn, soy, and cotton, that took off in the early mid-90s. In addition, some 5 million acres in California were treated with glyphosate in 2012 to grow almonds, peaches, onions, cantaloupe, cherries, sweet corn, citrus, grapes, and other edible crops. So what happens to glyphosate in the environment? Despite its widespread use, there is very little information about what happens in the environment. Glyphosate is not included in the U.S. government's testing of food for pesticide residues or the monitoring of chemicals in human blood and tissues. As a result, there is no information on how much people are exposed to from using it in their yards or living near farms or eating foods from treated fields. A recent U.S. GS study sampled waterways in 38 states and found glyphosate in the majority of rivers, streams, ditches, and wastewater treatment plants. Not much was found in groundwater because it binds tightly to soil. Glyphosate also was found in about 70% of rainfall samples. It attaches pretty firmly to soil particles that are swept off farm fields, then stay in the atmosphere for a relatively long time until they dissolve off into water. So here's the point. So now we're putting, what did we say, 300 million? Was it 300 million tons? No. That right now they're saying 1.4 billion pounds are applied every year. So now every year, it went up to 300 million pounds in this country, and that's year after year after year. It doesn't dissipate in the environment; it accumulates in the environment.
Before so genetically, one of the things that's important to understand here, because it then leaches into the soil, it is capable of killing earthworms. Earthworms are a critically important aspect of how soil maintains its health, how trace minerals and minerals are transferred from the soil into crops grown in that soil. And once again, people can go to organicconsumers.org, and they can go to Twitter and let President Obama know, veto the DARC Act. So veto that legislation that was brought to his desk last Thursday with regard to how we allow Monsanto to move forward with genetic modification. Those modifications are bad enough in and of themselves because they're combining the genetic background of a variety of different crops with the genes of a fungus, a bacteria, a virus. There are a variety of different ways that they genetically modify those crop genes. And then the crops are resistant to the glyphosate. Now, we have this big mystery. Oh, why do we deal with the bees disappearing? Why are we dealing with colony collapse disorder? The reason that we're dealing with that is glyphosate. Glyphosate kills the bees. Then let's just take a lesson from the DDT history that we know about. It took generations for us to figure out that, the DDT was contaminating the environment and consequently the ability to proliferate of a variety of different avian species. That was the inability to propagate their species was created because of the contamination with DDT. What do we think we're doing to the environment now with glyphosate? In my view, it is much, much worse. And we're trying to legislate it into a use through all of our farming.
Well, here's a little history on that. Before genetically engineered crops came about, glyphosate residues in food were considered unlikely. But since 2005, pre-harvest use of glyphosate results in very high residues, and traces were found in 90% of 300 soybean samples. So what's the likelihood of exposure? People most likely to be exposed are working on or living near farms used. Now, should we be worried about it? Or, you know, what are the known effects on human health? The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has determined that the science does not provide evidence to show that glyphosate causes cancer. But now, and this is a statement from a year ago, but now the EPA says it will analyze new findings by the UN's International Agency for Research on Cancer, which declared a year ago that glyphosate probably raises the risk of cancer in people exposed. The UN agency,
we know that glyphosate interferes with reproduction, and rat studies that have been done a number of years ago, the inability to maintain a pregnancy was observed in the rat studies. Offspring were born dead, and the other thing is the lifespan of the offspring was very short. Some of the offspring, the rat offspring, lived only hours to a few days. So we know that it interferes with reproduction.
Now, they go on to say here that the UN agency based its decision, in other words, calling glyphosate a possible carcinogen, they based it on human, animal, and cell studies. The studies found glyphosate in farm workers' blood and urine, chromosomal damage in cells, increased risks of non-Hodgkin lymphoma in some people exposed, and tumor formation in some animal studies. So the big unanswered question is, because this is what affects everybody, not whether you're exposed because you work on a farm, but what is the potential health effect of low levels of exposure over extended periods of time? So Monsanto says not to worry, because decades of ongoing comprehensive safety assessments have shown that there's nothing to worry about. But they don't take into account that it's important to remember that glyphosate acts on an enzyme that exists only in plants and not mammals. This is what Monsanto was saying, contributing to the low risk to human health. There's a lot more here, but first we have to take a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine introduces holistic and comprehensive ways to maintain your health, maintain your energy and immunity, your flexibility and your wellness. The team of specialists at the Institute of Advanced Medicine offer all the services to enhance and support all categories of function, health, and well-being. You can call 954-748-4991 to make an appointment today. 954-748-4991.
Listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And I think Janet wants to say something. Janet?
I do. Yes, Dr. Slavin. So this is such a critically important discussion that we're having with regard to glyphosate. And sometimes when people hear the radio show, they think they want to come and talk to me and have a little bit of information about maybe how to detoxify, how to protect themselves from exposure to glyphosate. And I just need to let everyone know that I am no longer available at Toonies. So I used to be available all through the week at Toonies for free counseling sessions, and that has changed. I am no longer available at Toonies, but I want to let everybody know that I am available at the Institute of Advanced Medicine for counseling sessions, and today I am here at Greenlands. I am at Greenlands 2000 North Federal Highway in Delray Beach, and today I have a full slate of counseling appointments, so it's not I'm not able to add any more people to my day today. But you can call Greenlands for next Friday, and I'm here doing the radio show at Greenlands from 10 to 11, and then from 11 to 2, I see people here at Greenlands. And in order to make an appointment for Greenlands next Friday, the 22nd of July, the number to call, 561-921-4238. You can also visit their website, which is Greenlandsstores.com, and they can find out about all of the different programs that they have here at Greenlands. And if you want to make an appointment to come see me next Friday, 561-921-4238 is the number to call. So that's my big news for the week, Dr. Slavin, that I'm no longer available at Toonies for counseling sessions, but I am available at Dr. Slavin's office, the Institute of Advanced Medicine.
All right, and I guess you'll eventually announce the days and the times that they can come see you here.
Yes, I certainly will get to that. And so in the meantime, they can reach me at Toonies, and if they want to set up an appointment on Monday, they can call the Institute of Advanced Medicine, 954-748-4991. That's Dr. Herb Slavin's office, the Institute of Advanced Medicine, 954-748-4991. Don't call today because the office is closed. So you can call on Monday and you will find out about my schedule. But Dr. Slavin, let's tell them about tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. You and I will be doing a seminar together.
Oh, that's correct. Trying to bring everybody up to the latest in how they can protect their health, because they're not getting that protection from mainstream medicine. You know, I keep observing over and over again how their approach is to let people get sick, and then they want to jump in with a drug that doesn't get you better. It just makes the symptom disappear while you continue to get sicker and sicker. So we'll be showing you ways that you can take better charge of your health tomorrow morning, starting at 10 o'clock here at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. If you haven't made up your mind yet, just come on by. We still have some space. And like I said, we'll start at 10 o'clock. And if you don't know where we're located, I think we just said 7200 West Commercial Boulevard. It's a couple blocks east of University Drive and about a mile west of the Turnpike on Commercial Boulevard. And let's see, we were talking about glyphosate, and it's really interesting, the information you can find out about it on the website, depending upon who you read. If you read Monsanto's statement, it's the greatest thing in the world. And if you read something that the like Scientific American says about it, then you might be a little bit more concerned about glyphosate. But the real question that hasn't been answered, now that they're using so much glyphosate on a yearly basis, and they don't know how much accumulates year after year after year. They don't have a clue to that. They don't know where it accumulates. And they don't know what low-level chronic exposure to this herbicide will cause.
Dr. Slavin, you think about the runoff with rain and irrigation. So in addition to toxically contaminating our soil, we are also potentially poisoning our rivers and waterways. And we've talked a lot in the past here on Natural Doc Radio about the contaminants that are in our waters, supposedly to prevent bacterial and pathogenic contamination. So now we have the additional concern about glyphosate in our drinking water, glyphosate in the water that's used here in South Florida to irrigate our lawns. And my guess is, along with the hormones and pharmaceuticals that are in the wastewater in South Florida, again, contamination with glyphosate in the water is not an area of concern for the water treatment plants, because nobody's given it any thought about why people need to have clean water and free of pesticide contamination.
Janet, there's another issue that is not being addressed. And this is what Scientific American said back in 2009. Used in gardens, and they're talking about glyphosate or Roundup, used in gardens, farms, and parks around the world, the weed killer Roundup contains an ingredient. Now, in other words, they're not talking about glyphosate now. They're talking about other ingredients in their product. So it contains an ingredient that can suffocate human cells in a laboratory, researchers say. So they go on to say they found that one of Roundup's inert ingredients. Now, you know what inert means? Supposed to be an innocent bystander, doesn't do anything. So they found that one of these inert ingredients that aren't supposed to do anything can actually kill human cells, particularly embryonic placental and umbilical cord cells.
Wow.
The new findings intensify a debate about so-called inerts, which are the solvents or the preservatives or surfactants and other substances that manufacturers add to pesticides. There are nearly 4,000 inert ingredients that are approved for use by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Glyphosate, which is Roundup's active ingredient, is the most widely used herbicide in the U.S. About 100 million pounds are applied to U.S. farms and lawns every year. Well, that was 6 years ago. It's up to 300 million now. Until now, most health studies have focused on the safety of glyphosate rather than the mixture of ingredients found in Roundup. But in the new study, scientists found that Roundup's inert ingredients amplified the toxic effects on human cells, even in concentrations much more diluted than those used on farms and lawns. One of the specific inert ingredients, polyethoxylated tallowamine, also known as POEA, was more deadly to human embryonic, placental, and umbilical cord cells than the herbicide itself. And that actually shocked the researchers. They found that astonishing. So this information clearly confirms that inert ingredients, such as those found in Roundup, are really not inert. Moreover, the proprietary mixtures available on the market could cause cell damage and even death at the residual levels found on Roundup-treated crops such as soybeans, alfalfa, and corn, or lawns and gardens. The research team suspects that Roundup might cause pregnancy problems by interfering with hormone production, possibly leading to abnormal fetal development, low birth weights, or miscarriages. Now, having just read that, it makes me think a little bit about Zika and the fact that they're talking about these birth defects associated with the Zika virus. But maybe we have to look at the pesticides they're using to combat the mosquitoes that carry the Zika virus. Maybe all the problems are associated with that. Monsanto says, because they make Roundup, they say that the methods used in the study don't reflect realistic conditions and that their product, which has been sold since the 1970s, is safe when used as directed. Hundreds of studies over the past 35 years have addressed the safety of glyphosate. But I wonder how they did the study, and clearly there's going to be a different outcome if you're applying 100 million pounds versus 300 million pounds on a year-to-year basis, and it's cumulative. They go on to say here that Roundup has one of the most extensive human health safety and environmental data packages of any pesticide that's out there. It's used in public parks. It's used to protect schools. There's been a great deal of study on Roundup, and we're very proud of its performance. The EPA considers glyphosate to have low toxicity when used at the recommended doses. Well, here's the problem. The recommended dosage is used year after year after year so that the residual impact on the environment keeps increasing.
Dr. Slavin, one of the things that I've also read is that the recommended dose, the farmers are finding that the recommended dose is no longer effective.
Right, that's true too, that the weeds are becoming resistant to glyphosate, so they have to use more and more. And I think I read somewhere where Monsanto is coming out with other herbicides as well.
Other herbicides that are formulated in concert with the genetically modified foods so that those crops are resistant to the application of the other herbicides. And so we're thinking about the crops, but we're not thinking about the people consuming those crops.
Now, this article from Scientific American was published 7 years ago. And so 7 years ago, an environmental group petitioned Argentina's Supreme Court seeking a temporary ban on glyphosate use after an Argentine scientist and local activist reported a high incidence of birth defects and cancers in people living near crop spraying areas. Time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332 or amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on AM 1470 WNN.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We've been talking about glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup, and it all started out because of the labeling law that was passed, stating that it's going to indicate which foods have genetically modified ingredients, because that's a way of saying they have high levels of glyphosate in those foods. But there's another aspect to this issue. I just want to say that scientists have linked genetic malformations in amphibians to glyphosate. In addition, in Sweden, a scientific team found that exposure is a risk factor for people developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. But it may not be the glyphosate by itself. It could be some of the, quote, inert ingredients that are causing some of the problems, because those are other ingredients that they put in to help the product perhaps last longer. But they aren't scrutinized the same way as the active ingredients are. Specific herbicide formulations are protected as trade secrets, so manufacturers aren't required to publicly disclose them. Although Monsanto is the largest manufacturer of glyphosate-based herbicides, several other manufacturers sell similar herbicides with different inert ingredients. And that term, inert ingredient, is misleading. Federal law classifies all pesticide ingredients that don't harm pests as inert.
Whoa.
So
that's
inert compounds.
Kind of a stretch.
Right. So inert compounds, therefore, aren't necessarily biologically or toxicologically harmless. They simply don't kill insects or weeds, but they've never been tested on humans. The EPA takes into account the inert ingredients and how the product is used whenever a pesticide is approved for use. The aim, and this is someone from the EPA states, is to ensure that if a product is used according to label directions, both people's health and the environment will not be harmed. One label requirement for Roundup is that it should not be used in or near fresh water to protect amphibians and other wildlife. So their position is, if it does affect amphibians and other wildlife, it wasn't used properly, so therefore we don't have to worry about it. Some
Dr.
of the
Slavin, yeah. It may very well be that the initial response to the application of glyphosate won't create an immediate die-off in marine life or amphibians, but possibly, as was shown in the rat study, affect reproductivity and lifespan and health associated with the offspring. So we're looking at this very narrow view of the potential damage that glyphosate can do. The other part of this whole discussion is the legislation is on President Obama's desk. And so by going to organicconsumersassociation.org, OCA.org, people can make their case with President Obama to veto this legislation, which is very much focused in supporting Monsanto and their corporate interests, but not focused on supporting the good health, longevity, and reproduction of humans. So OCA.org, and ask, you can sign their petition asking President Obama to veto this legislation, and you can also tweet President Obama to tell him to refuse to sign this legislation.
Okay, so here's some more information about inert ingredients. They're not inert to humans, and they can affect their health. What they found was that inert ingredients are used to amplify the effects of the active ingredients by helping them penetrate clothing, protective equipment and cell membranes or by increasing their toxicity. A Croatian team found that an herbicide formulation containing atrazine, another herbicide, caused DNA damage, which can lead to cancer, while atrazine by itself did not. Now, we mentioned earlier another of the inert ingredients was POEA, and it's in herbicides, it's been in herbicides since the 1980s, and research has linked it to a group of poisonings in Japan. Doctors there examined patients who drank Roundup, either intentionally or accidentally, and determined that their sicknesses and deaths were due to POEA, not glyphosate. So what is POEA? It's a surfactant or detergent derived from animal fat. It's added to Roundup and other herbicides to help them penetrate plants' surfaces, making the weed killer more effective. POEA helps glyphosate interact with the surfaces of plant cells. POEA lowers water's surface tension, the property that makes water form droplets on most surfaces, which helps glyphosate disperse and penetrate the waxy surfaces of plants. In a French study, they tested four different Roundup formulations, all of which contained POEA and glyphosate at concentrations below the recommended lawn and agricultural dose. They also tested POEA and glyphosate separately to determine which caused more damage to embryonic, placental, or umbilical cords. Glyphosate, POEA, and all four Roundup formulations damaged all three cell types. Umbilical cord cells were especially sensitive. Glyphosate became more harmful when combined with POEA, and POEA alone was more deadly to cells than glyphosate. So you can see now it's getting even more complicated because they have all these inert ingredients in these products which they don't have to disclose because it's proprietary. So,
okay, Dr. Slavin, imagine, how are they delivering this glyphosate to the farmers? Is it being delivered in a powder form and then the farmers mix it with water? And in that mixing operation, are they using chlorinated water? Are they using fluoridated water? Are they using water that is already containing a combination of chloroamine, which is chlorine along with ammonia? So you can see very easily the toxic mix that we are being exposed to, and the mix gets more and more dangerous every year.
So I don't think we should necessarily be concerned about whether they pass a labeling law or not, whether it's GMO-free or not, because as we pointed out, GMO-free doesn't mean herbicide-free. It doesn't mean Roundup-free. It doesn't mean chemical-free.
Using the Roundup is with those genetically modified crops. So I believe that it is a political activity that it is important for people just to establish their position and possibly go after the more important chemical issues, as you say. But right now, what's something that we can do? Stop the DARC Act.
And the other thing you can do is just switch to organic.
Very important.
Because GMO-free doesn't mean pesticide-free. Organic is supposed to mean pesticide-free. They're not spraying the organically grown crops with pesticides. So it's a much safer choice. And I don't know that the studies that they talk about have really ever been publicized. I think they expect us to take Monsanto's word that their products are safe. So
I certainly am not going to take the publicity that Monsanto is putting forth into the media as 100% truthful. There are a lot of misleading statements that have been made to the media based on the information that's been given to the media from Monsanto. Keeping in mind, Monsanto is a chemical company. It is a corporation that owes its allegiance to its shareholders, and the allegiance means that it has to be profitable. What's one of the most profitable things that they're doing? Roundup. Why is it most profitable? Because we can see over the years that the amount of glyphosate that has been applied to our farmland, applied to our lawns, has dramatically increased. And with each increase, we certainly have an increased exposure to potentially dangerous chemicals that do harm to our overall good health. Dr. Slavin, one more time, I want to let everybody know that I'm here at Greenlands, 2000 North Federal Highway in Delray Beach. It's 2 miles north of Atlantic on the west side of Federal Highway. And my schedule is full for today for counseling sessions. But if people are interested in coming to see me in Delray Beach, 561-921-4238 is the number to call, and I will be here next Friday, July 22nd. The other option is come and see us tomorrow morning at the very special free seminar that Dr. Slavin and I are giving, and I will be providing lots of information on a brand new nutrition support approach that's available at the Institute of Advanced Medicine.
Okay, and I'd like to thank all our listeners. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. We're here every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.